Conspiracies are a lot like dandelions. Once they show up, man, they are really tough to kill. The aftermath of Dr. Anthony Fauci's appearing before a Senate committee, the six-year-old conspiracies about the COVID-19 virus, especially the COVID vaccines, they saw their return loudly, didn't they? Now, I'll go even further back in time. Back to the days of the MDA telethon Jerry Lewis hosted for decades. All through those decades, the conspiracy was, you know, Jerry's getting a piece of the action from what was raised every Labor Day weekend. He wasn't, yet even though Jerry did his final telethon, what, 16 years ago now, that conspiracy continues to flourish. Why is that? Well, much like with dandelions, rather than dealing with the bloom, you need to take care of the root. It's also important to know that many who spew conspiracies will, in their very next breath, claim to be Christians. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 addresses these people. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So let's spend some time today examining the roots of conspiracies, because there are actually quite a few. Perhaps the most frequently found root of conspiracies is a lie. A lie is used to feed a conspiracy meant to bring people to something wrong, even dangerous, to believe in. A lie serving as the root of a conspiracy to draw someone to a false belief has been around really since the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Proof of this is found in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it," meaning the fruit from the tree of life, "your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verses 42 through 44, reveals the truth about those who push conspiracies of lies. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." If you're one who stands with liars embracing their conspiracies, there's a warning from Jesus in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, not only establishes the company that you keep, but also foretells what your destiny is going to be. "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Personal gain, or greed, if you will, that's another root of conspiracies. Those who spout them seek the earthly over the heavenly. They're deaf and blind to the words we find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." Jesus in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, talks about their present and future. "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" So think about that. Is that someone who you want to stand with? There are actually way too many in the pulpit who push conspiracies by corrupting the Word of God. It's called the prosperity doctrine, where they claim if you give 100 to them, God will reward you with 1,000. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, shuts them all down. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Corruption, that's another root of conspiracies. The corrupt who bring about conspiracies do so in order to justify their wrongs by having as many people join in supporting them. James chapter 3, verse 16 alerts us to these people, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." Going back to the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 4, here's their method and goals. "So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted." Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, reveals who these conspirators are. "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. And finally, those who promote conspiracies do so in order to give strength and support for their judgment of others. This root could be considered a relative of hate, but where hate is used with anger and force, judgment is used in an attempt to justify an attack on a person or a group. Oh, where to begin? Jesus tells those who judge what their priority should be according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Well, those who judge through conspiracies say they do so through God's word. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 teaches this truth. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart, then each one will receive his commendation from God. In the 8th chapter of John, we read the story of the people in the temple coming to Jesus with a woman who committed adultery. They tell Jesus that the penalty is for her to be stoned, and then ask what he thought. What happened next is told to us in John chapter 8, verses 6 through 9. This they said to test him, meaning Jesus, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more, he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. The aftermath of this had Jesus acknowledge to the woman that her accusers were no longer there to condemn her, neither did he, and Jesus sent her away with the direction not to sin again. The belief of this scene by Bible scholars is that Jesus wrote in the dirt the names of those accusing the woman and their sins. There's actually a prophecy foretelling this. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth." Additionally, this action of Jesus, with him writing truth with his finger, absolutely connects with what God gave to Moses and how. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 11, verse 18. "And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God." So to those who create conspiracies and to those who embrace and even enforce them, I ask, if Jesus crouched down to write your name in the sand, what would he write next to it?